We have for some time now kind of asking the question, what is a church? What is a church? The answer to that question gives us that which we call church truth. And it is vitally important that you and I, as members of Faith Baptist Church, know what a church is. It is vitally important that we know how to answer those questions that arise when we consider what is a church. Last week, we considered how important baptism is and how you can't be a church member without scriptural baptism. And we told you that there are four requirements to scriptural baptism. How many of you, since just last week, can pass a test and list those four requirements? You really need to be able to. I was going to get a list of our church roll, but I didn't have enough time this evening to get it off the board and copied and have it with me. But I was going to ask our young people, what I mean by that, those who have made professions of faith, been baptized, whose names are on our church roll, I was going to ask you, can you name those four requirements? The Joneses have their daughter profess faith and is on the church roll. The Bournes have a couple. Grabers now have one. The Rogers have a couple. The Heisings have one now. And these young people are not the next generation because they're young. I don't believe in that idea. You never know who the Lord's going to add to a church. You never know who the Lord is going to take away and bring somebody in out of the blue and add them to the Lord's church. But these young people are the next generation in that the Lord has added them at this part of their life. So they may very well be in the next generation of Faith Baptist Church as time progresses. Can you answer what the four requirements of scriptural baptism are? What are those four requirements? One must be saved, must have proper baptism administered, the right authority, which is the Lord's church, the right mode, which is immersion, the right purpose, and that is to picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the right reason. It's important that you young people know these things. You have no lighter duty, you have no lighter responsibility because you're young and your parents are old fogies. As members of this church, you have the same responsibility as they and they you. Amen. Know these things. And I know you can't know these things above your ability. I'm not saying that our most recent baptism was 9 years old. I'm not saying that she's going to know and understand what a teenager many years from now is going to know, or what an adult knows, or what somebody who's gone to church all their life is going to know. But I know whatever their age, they have some ability to grasp some of these things, and they should be able to. As we think about the Lord's church, we didn't make a list last week And it's a little varied depending on who you ask. But what are the requirements to be a church member? What are the requirements to be a member of Faith Baptist Church? Do you know what the requirements of scriptural baptism are? Do you know what the requirements are of being a church member? These things are important. They're critical. Because we are charged with the persevering. We are charged with the contending for the faith. We're charged with standing and delivering, planting our feet as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and continuing to contend for the faith until Jesus Christ comes or we cease to exist. We have a charge upon us. Faith Baptist Church must, having done all to stand, must stand, irregardless of who might come and go or come and or go. Lord's Church must continue, must stand. We gather together to worship. Is our worship acceptable to the Lord? We gather together and we stand and strive to be faithful in declaring and preaching and proclaiming the gospel. Are we being faithful to that commission? We're charged as a church with contending for the faith, that system of what we believe. Earnestly contending for the faith once delivered. Are we contending? Are we contending? All of these things that I'm talking about can so subtly and so easily and so softly be changed. They can be so slowly left behind. And a church can so surprisingly find itself someday with the candlestick removed and maybe not seeing that time coming. So how are we doing? What are the requirements for scriptural baptism? What are the requirements for being a church member, a member of a Faith Baptist Church, Wauseon, Ohio? What are the three main missions, focuses of this church? Worship, preaching the gospel, contending for the faith. Are we doing these things? Does each one gathered here whose name is on that church roll know these things, answer these questions and these tests? Are we all doing our part to maintain the spirit within the church that brings the Lord's approval? Or does he say, like he did to some of the churches in Revelation, "Woe, woe, I have somewhat against you." Doesn't matter what you want to list in continuation of that statement. Last thing we want to hear, ever, 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 is the Lord Jesus Christ saying to us as a church, "I have somewhat against you." Doesn't matter what it is, we don't want to hear that. We're all charged with maintaining our lives as individuals. And as we maintain our lives as individuals, as we're individual members of the body here, we're all charged with maintaining the Lord's pleasing and acceptance upon all that we do. The definition, and I think this is something that's easy enough, most anybody could memorize it. We've heard it enough, we've said it enough, we've read it enough, we've spoke of it enough to where most everybody here at all age levels ought to be able to give the definition we've given you for a church. And the definition we've given you for weeks and weeks and months actually is a church is a called out assembly of baptized believers covenanted together in faith. Covenanted together in faith. A couple times ago, when Brother Andy supplied or substitute taught for Brother Luke when he was gone, I believe he was looking into the book of Hebrews and not Hebrews, Acts. And he spent most of his lesson time talking about the covenant, our covenant relationship. I wish we'd recorded it and I could just play it back to you tonight or next week. But a church is a call-out assembly of baptized believers which are covenanted together, contracted together, bound as one together. We've looked at how we're called out. What are we called out from? We're called out from among the saved in general. I don't believe it's talking about lost people being called out from the lost or from the world. That's what the saved folks are called out to. The church is made up of those that have been called out from the general population of Christians and blessed and privileged with being a church member. Don't want to sound smart aleck or anything. There's a lot of people who are saved, born again Christians. A lot of them. I don't think we have any idea the multitude of people in this world who truly are saved, who know Christ. A lot of those so-called Christians, but very few are called out from those numbers and placed in a true New Testament Baptist church. That is a great privilege. I think it's Ephesians that calls that a high calling. A high calling. So a church is people that are called out from the saved in general. A church is an assembly. Best way to understand that is to remember what Paul told us there in the Corinthian letter, what God told us in the Corinthian letter. The church is a body. Many parts, but one body. So the church is folks that are called out from the masses of Christians to be added to the Lord's church. They are an assembly, and they are an assembly of baptized believers. Baptized, scripturally baptized. All it takes to baptize somebody as far as immersion is concerned is a lot of water. Enough water to get them under the picture of burial. But there's more to it in having complete scriptural baptism than just enough water. It must be a saved person under the authority of the Lord's church who are immersed for the purpose of picturing what the Lord did for them, died, buried, and rose again for them. Baptism is what we dealt with last week. Now, at the very heart of this definition is the word believers. A church is a called-out assembly of baptized believers covenanted together in faith. Not precisely, but as I read it, in the middle of that definition, a church is made up of believers. Believers. What is a believer? Every week on the broadcast, I ask the question, are you a person of faith? To the radio listener, I ask them that question. I try to, in the course of the broadcast, answer what is a person of faith. To the world, a person of faith is just a religious person. To the world, a person of faith is just somebody who maybe who goes to church, or somebody who believes in God, somebody who has some kind of concept of spiritual things. But I don't believe that's what qualifies a person as a person of faith. A person of faith is somebody who has seen themselves a sinner, cried out to God for mercy and forgiveness, and believed Jesus Christ died for them. That's my definition of a person of faith. Somebody who has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So before I go any further, I want to ask you, are you a person of faith? I'm asking that of everybody here. Are you a person of faith? Have you ever seen yourself a sinner, cried out to God for mercy and forgiveness, and Him having granted you the faith to believe Jesus Christ died for you? If that has ever happened to you, ever truly happened to you, you're a person of faith. But if you can't answer that yes, then you're not. And all you need to do, if I could put it that way, all you need to do is see yourself a sinner, ask God to forgive you, to have mercy, and He'll grant you the faith to believe to the saving of your soul. We just sang a song with the kids. Behold, behold, I stand at the door and knock, knock, knock. If any boy hear my voice, if any girl hear my voice, and will open the door, I will come in. That song is sung from the perspective of Jesus Christ. And there's very Armenian, unscriptural definitions for what is implied there based on the book of Revelation, where the Lord is seen knocking at the door of the church, not the heart's door. But He's knocking at the door of the church saying, if you'll open up, I'll come in and we'll have fellowship. Nobody is ever saved in and of themselves. Nobody is ever saved by their opening the door and inviting Jesus to come in. That's not what we imply by the singing of that song. What I hope to imply whenever I sing that song and lead that song is, if you'll believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. That's biblical. If you'll believe, He'll save your soul. That's the promise of Scripture. And that's what I see in that song. If any boy or girl will believe, will open the door. If you have but belief, have but faith, then He'll save your soul, or He has saved your soul, depending on how you want to look at it. In Ephesians chapter 2 here, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is a gift from God. Doesn't take a genius to understand that in verse number 8. For by grace, God's unmerited favor, you're saved. Not by works, but it's a gift from God. Salvation is free, but salvation, though it is free, is received through faith. Is received by believing, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I think is a good rendering of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 is, salvation is a gift from God. Salvation is free. It is received by faith that God gives you. It's all of Him. It's a free gift from God. received through faith, that faith God gives us when we're saved, and we're saved when He gives us that faith to receive that free gift of God. Not of works, no works involved. I was listening to the program for just a little bit of the church that follows us on Sunday mornings. And they were speaking of, I think there was four young people that they were confirming, something along the lines of confirming. Some of these denominations that are out there, they baptize babies, and they will acknowledge that they baptize their babies and their children to put them into Christ, to protect them, to shield them just in case something bad happens. We don't want to wait and not baptize them. We want to baptize them young so that they're in Christ, so if something happens unexpectedly, we know they're going to go to heaven. So they baptize children, they baptize babies, thinking that puts them into Christ. And they go through their churches for years, and they come to where they're 12 or 13, like the Jews. They come to where they're 12 or 13, and then they're confirmed. They're confirmed in the faith. And I don't know if there's a testing or a questioning or a completing of a catechism or what all's involved in that. But nobody is saved by works. Nobody is placed in Christ at baptism. Nobody is confirmed in Christ when they come to a certain age. Salvation is a free gift from God. He gives us faith to receive that free gift of God, and it's not of works. It's not baptism. It's not the Ten Commandments. It's not confirmation. It's not anything we do. It's all of grace. Or it's not of God at all. So salvation is a free gift from God received through faith, and that faith is a gift from God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Last week, we read the commission. I called it the commission according to Mark's rendering. We usually go to Matthew 28 for the commission reading. But here's pretty much the same commission as Christ meets with the 11 at least, if not all of those that were a part of the church at this particular time, maybe 112, 115. And in verse 15 and 16 of Mark 16, Jesus, He said unto them, He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. He upbraided them for their unbelief, for their lack of faith, for the hardness of their hearts. Mark 16, 14, and verse 15. He said unto them, Go ye into all the world. What are we going to do, Lord? You're going to preach the gospel to every creature, everyone you can, everybody you have opportunity. You're to preach the gospel. Those that believe, you're to baptize. Those that believe, you're to baptize. And those that do not believe shall be damned. Just read it the way the Lord gives us in His Word. We're charged with going into all the world, preaching the gospel to everybody we have opportunity or we can find to preach the gospel to. Those who He saves, just like the Matthew record, those that He saves were to baptize. Once they're baptized, we're to teach them to observe all things. What is added here in Mark's gospel is he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So we don't think baptism saves. He says he that believes not is not saved or is condemned. So baptism has nothing to do with salvation other than the putting away of the answer of a good conscience. But we're to preach the gospel to everyone we can. We're to baptize everybody who's saved. We're to teach those that are baptized to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And anybody who does not believe is condemned. Don't want to beat a dead horse. It's appointed unto men once to die. Everybody here tonight could be tomorrow, could be 50 years from now. But everybody here is appointed one day to die. You're going to die one day. You can't get around that. It's appointed unto everyone once to die. You die without the Lord Jesus Christ, then you die condemned. You die dead in your trespasses and your sins. And it means just what it means. You die in a state of condemnation. The only way to get out of that state of condemnation is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Verse 36 and 37. Here's Philip and the eunuch. Philip is preaching, teaching Jesus unto the eunuch who had just come from Jerusalem as a proselyte Jew, I believe. And he preaches unto Philip Christ. Verse 35 says that in the last part. He preached unto him Christ. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He's preached Christ unto this man, explained to him that passage from Isaiah and how it shows us Christ. They come to a body of water, ample enough water for him to go, for both of them to go down in, and for the eunuch to be baptized. And Philip says, the eunuch says, "What keeps me from being baptized? Right here now, here we go, there's water, let's get this done. What hinders me?" Philip said, "What? If thou believest," if you believe. Believe what? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul. "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." What has he been preaching to this man? He's preaching Jesus. He's not preaching an ordinance. He's not preaching a law. He's not preaching a command. The only thing that "if thou believest" can have application to is Jesus. If thou believest in Jesus with all thine heart, you can be baptized right here. And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Do you believe that tonight? What hinders you from being baptized? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Plus nothing and minus nothing. Do you believe with all your heart? Are you a person of faith? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? You know the record in Acts 16. Repetition's not a bad thing. Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas have been scourged and beaten and imprisoned and chained in the inner prison there at Philippi. God works a miracle and breaks all the chains loose and opens the doors for all to get out, though that's not what his purpose was. And this jailer asked Paul and Silas in verse number 30 of Acts chapter 16, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Is that on the tip of your tongue tonight? Is that on the edge of your lips? What must I do to be saved? I want to be saved. What must you do? Well, their answer was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And if thy house and all that is in the house, if they will believe, they'll be saved." A church is a called out assembly of baptized believers. That's made plain in John 3:16, verse 15 and 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," whosoever what? "Believes in Jesus, shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 10 tells us we must hear, we must believe with our hearts, Jesus Christ died for our sins. So what is a church? A called out assembly of baptized believers. To be a church member, you must be called out from the saved. And God is the one who does that calling out. You must see yourself as being made a part of the assembly as the body of Christ in a particular location. You must have scriptural baptism, and first and foremost, you must be a believer. Believer in what? A believer in Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 12, I'll just quote this quickly. "But as many as received him," as many as received Jesus, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God. As many as received Jesus, to them gave he," Jesus, I believe, "gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood," not by physical relation, blood relation, "nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." You know, if you're here and you're lost, and you're going to go from here in that same condition, let me challenge you. Something that the Lord laid upon my heart as Brother Rob was reading this morning. The Gospel of John is copied in booklet form. The Gospel of John is commonly given out to people as an evangelistic tool. I'm sure there have been times when I've been in and around churches that have been given out the Gospel of John, because it really presents salvation in Jesus Christ very well. If you're going to leave here tonight lost, I challenge you to spend as much time as you can reading the Gospel of John. And you can just read the first chapter, those verses that were read this morning. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And sometimes Jesus is being talked about. Sometimes John the Baptist is being talked about, and there's a going back and forth. If you'll take that first chapter, or just what the 18 verses that were read in our scripture reading this morning, if you'll just take those and read those and get it square in your mind which places are talking about Jesus, which places are talking about John, and why John came and why John preached and why Jesus Christ came, how that he was God in the flesh. If you'll just get all that squared away, you know God's just liable to save your soul. Because there's all the answers we need there in the Gospel of John. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came to the Jews, and the Jews says, we'll not have him rule over us. We don't have any time for this guy. But to as many as received him, believed in him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. A called out assembly of baptized believers covenanted together in faith. You reckon you can figure out what next week's lessons are going to be on? Let's stand. Have a verse of song.